Thanks for listening to this Word in Your Ear podcast. If you'd like to get early access to all our productions ad-free, priority booking for our live events, and to take part in our weekly quiz, go to patreon.com/wordinyourear for more details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to a podcast from The Word.
Welcome to another Word in Your Ear, and we're joined by Stephen Fall. Stephen, welcome. And I'll explain how Stephen got to be here. I got an email the other week from Stephen saying, I've written a book reviewing all the records I've got. Could I send you a copy? So I felt it was only right that I should say, yes, send me a copy. Next I heard, my local post office rang me up. They were rather concerned because they'd had three members of staff off with hernias attempting to deliver this book, which eventually appeared. And I'm now going to attempt to... Mark and I used to, in the world of publishing, when he had a particular issue that had a lot of adverts and was consequently very thick, people used to drop it on the floor and say, does it pass the BOF test?
BOF test. It'd be a cat killer if it
would it kill a cat if it fell through a letterbox? So now, are you ready? I'm about to drop it. Okay.
That's a BOF.
That's the sound of reviewing my record collection. 3,333 albums from A to Zuma by Stephen Fall. Stephen, tell us how this started.
I'm not sure there was any particular start point, but I mean, I've always kind of just reviewed things for my own benefit, really, just because I listen to a lot of music. So I'd sort of make notes about what I liked or what I listened to, just so I, you know, when I came back to it, I had something there. And at some point I actually properly started, reviewing these, actually working them up into real reviews. And when I've got children, when my son was much younger,
he had to say
you
that.
You ever see them?
Yes.
I've got a wife.
I used to sit with my son, you know, at his bedtime while he was just going to sleep, and I just used to sit there in the dark, quietly as he was kind of nodding off, and so I sat there with headphones, and I would just listen to an album, and I would just find them sort of sitting there reviewing it as I listened to it on my phone. And it just sort of became a nice little routine. I would just do one every evening. It was very peaceful. You know, he was nodding off. I was sitting there quietly typing on my phone. And this thing just started accumulating. And I thought maybe I can do 1,000 of these. And I went past 1,000 and I thought, oh, but I haven't reviewed so-and-so's catalogue, or I haven't, you know, haven't covered enough of this or enough of that. And then it sort of went to 2,000 and then 3,000. And I think when it got to 3,000, I thought, this is getting a bit silly now. I need to sort of rein this in. And I thought maybe if I just go with 3,333, I can get in the main things I want to cover. So I sort of set that as my limit.
So if this was one review a day, I estimate that must have taken you 10 years.
Yeah. pretty much, yeah. So in nine point something years of listening, and that's without going back as well. So I mean, that was sort of one different album every day.
So you were writing these reviews, and they weren't appearing anywhere. You were just
It was just really for my own sort of reference or my own interest. But I mean, I did have somewhere in there, I did have the idea this would make a really nice book, even if it's just for my kids, you know, just as a thing, as a sort of record of listening and experiencing all this music.
How old are your kids?
Well, they're grown up now. So this is...
Go on. How old? Go on.
They're 18 and 21
okay.
now.
Okay. Have you attempted to interest them?
Yeah, they are. They are interested in...
Oh, really? Oh, good.
In music. And as you can see on the cover, I don't know if you have it there, but... This was done... These images were done by my son. So he was part of the whole thing, really.
How much have they read? Are they sitting there saying, don't tell me what's happening, it's going to happen. don't give away the ending. Is it ZZ Top? Is it? Yeah.
No, they haven't really seen it yet, but they were over time, I'm sure they will.
How many copies did you have printed?
Well, I've done this through an Amazon platform, so it's a print-on-demand thing. So it's printed as it's ordered.
Right. Well, it is a unique piece of work. I mean, because it's quite rare to have reference books of reviews nowadays, whereas 20 years ago there were a few, you know, the Rolling Stone Record Guide or Dave Marsh's book or Robert Christgau's or whatever. But that's very different because generally they were kind of, either written by loads of different people or compiled from reviews that people had written over a long period of time. Whereas yours are all by you, you know, and they're not in a normal alphabetical arrangement, are they, which would be by artists. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I realised at some point, I just thought this would be much more interesting to do if, and so it's alphabetical by album title.
Right.
That's why, so the title is from A to Zuma, A being the Jethro Tull album A, Zuma being Neil Young Crazy Horse from 76. So you know, obviously it's a pun on A to Z, but they are actually albums. And I really liked doing it alphabetically by title because it got round the idea of sort of standard chronology and genre, and it's just a different way to put these things together, rather than sort of getting bogged down in, because I mean there are artists, I'm sort of drawn to artists with big sprawling catalogs like Neil Young, Bob Dylan, The Fall, and you would get, if I did this by artist, you would end up getting 100 pages of Bob Dylan in there.
That's
in
true.
Block.
Whereas if I open up at random here, okay, completely at random, and I'm in the F's, and so I get Fame and Wealth by Loudon Wainwright, Famous Blue Raincoat by Jennifer Warnes, Famous in the Last Century by Status Quo, Fans by Malcolm McLaren, Fantastic Voyage of Goblin. I have to confess, I've never heard of Goblin, but that's how educated. Far by Regina Spektor, Farewell Angelina by Joan Baez from 1965. You know, so it shoots back and forward. Farther Along by the Byrds, and then Fashionably Late by Linda Thompson. It's extraordinary. I mean, how would you... Is it possible to characterize your taste? Because this is all stuff that you wanted to hear. This isn't like a standard journalist with just stuff that they got sent or a reviews editor asked them to do.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything particularly negative. You like the idea of all these records, don't you?
There are some in there that I've really give a mauling to.
Yeah, you do, actually.
I mean, it wasn't... I think I say in there somewhere that this definitely is not my favourite 3,333 albums, as if anyone has a favourite of that number. But I mean, it's just the albums that came my way, really. I mean, as Dave says, a lot of time I'll just find things in charity shops, and
which we should come back to because I found that fascinating.
Get to that. But so there's always been a sort of random quality to it. Also, just, you know, a lifetime of collect music, but acquiring music, and so sort of things on the shelf that I haven't played for years, then there's things that will just come my way, or people will recommend or whatever, and I keep up with a lot of new stuff as well, so
And you go back and revisit things, don't you? I read a Martha Wainwright review, and you never liked that record, and you kind of went, but you'd been put off it for 6 years, and you went back to try and reassess it. So there's a bit of that going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you find it quite positive, because, I mean, I do believe in sort of being fair to art generally, and trying to meet it halfway rather than just going in with your preconceptions and then deciding you don't like it. Try to engage with what the artist is doing. And also, I really, you know, this is a very unfashionable view to hold now, but I really do believe in, I really like the idea of the album. I believe in the idea of the album as the best way to present music and to digest music. I'm not a fan of greatest hits compilations or Spotify playlists or just, you know, endlessly breaking things down into kind of best bits. I like the album as the artist created it with the, you know, the sort of shape that they gave to it. And, you know, I don't believe in skipping tracks. If there's a track on there I don't really like, I will always play it. And
really? Wow.
It's part of the overall thing. And I think that, I think that's what makes albums interesting in a way. So we'll all have our different, even supposedly classic albums, we'll all have our different favourite tracks on them.
Let's talk about the charity shop thing. I this amused me. Monster by REM. It says, this CD is available at a very reasonable price in every charity shop in Britain. So I found it ironic that it was reissued in pricey form in 2019 after people had been, and here I like this expression, after people had been frantically throwing it away for 20 years. The idea, people desperately trying to get rid of it. It keeps coming back. Tell us about your experience of shopping in charity shops. And what are the ones, you know, apart from REM's Monster, that are perennials in that kind of environment?
Yeah, I mean, you see, there are certain repeat offenders you just see again and again at the moment. You know, Robbie Williams, Dido, Travis. You know, I think it's to do with CDs that were popular at the height of the CD boom, so they sold a lot of copies.
Yeah,
Parlay by Paul Young is the great cliche, isn't it?
For vinyl.
You see a lot of those?
Vinyl, but then CD, it moves on, doesn't it? Yeah. But,
I mean, even that now, I think you're seeing fewer copies of that now because, you know, it's 40 years old. And also there's a...
Is it really? Good grief, I suppose it is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it is. Yeah, they've just done a special edition, haven't they? He's touring, isn't he, too?
This is the thing I find remarkable is that, you know, you can walk into your local charity shop and see the third Travis album for 50p, but at the same time these albums are being given sort of super deluxe reissue treatment with multi disc. You can buy on vinyl for £80 or whatever, so it seems to be going both directions all the time. I just find that remarkable.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think you talk about in the introduction, you have written for kind of standard publication in the past, like a Status Quo magazine, is that right?
No, well, actually, that was my own sort of fanzine's probably not the right word for it, but it's just a magazine I did myself called Ice Cream for Quo.
Right.
Very good.
It was just a sort of about music and other
things. It wasn't about Status Quo particularly. I wondered if you had every Status Quo album. I was intrigued.
There is a disproportionate amount of Status Quo in the book. I'm not quite sure how that happened. I was sort of working my way through them, and I said to my son, because he sort of kept a regular interest in my progress with this.
I'm so impressed that anybody's got an 18-year-old son who's remotely interested in anything they do.
Well, and he said at some point, you know, I think I said I've done quite a few Status Quo here. I've probably done the best bits. I ought to stop. And he said, no, you should do all of them. And I pretty
with
much
a mad glint in his eye. Can't imagine how many Status Quo albums there are. They keep producing them, don't they? They've not stopped. Even there's one person left. They're still going, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's questionable whether it is just Francis Rossi now, I think.
So you were presumably a big reader of reviews. Was there a particular reviewer that you used to follow back in the day?
Not really. I mean, I growing up with the magazines that you've been involved with, really, from Smash Hits through Enemy, Melody Maker, Mojo, Q, Word, you know, sort of the history of British rock journalism, really. And I still read music magazines, even though they're sort of becoming less and less important, I suppose. But yeah, I like reviews. I like reading about music.
Right. But you've never really done it professionally. Which is just
you never wanted to.
I have actually. I mean, it just my life hasn't really just gone that way. I mean, I do work. I am an editor for a publishing company, so I'm kind of in the general.
Oh, right. So you're dealing with words and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you mentioned before we started that this isn't the end of it, is it?
You're working on volume two.
Well,
you should.
As I said, I was sort of honing in on the number of the 3333. I realised there were things I really wanted to put in, so I had to take some out. So there are some that sort of got removed, and then the thing that happened once I stopped adding to it, I really noticed that I really missed reviewing things because I realised it makes you a better listener. It makes you much more attentive and observant to what you're playing, and it's very easy just to sort of put something on and just let it wash past you. But if you're reviewing it, you're engaged with it
it's foreground music, isn't it?
Yeah. So I feel like I've not listened to music as well since I finished it, and I miss that, and it's a strange almost sense of bereavement that I'm not engaged with it in the same way. So part of me is tempted just to keep going with it, but I'm not sure how I can really. The book's already sort of maxed out on all the dimensions. It's the maximum size it could be, the maximum, you know, weight, word count.
So Amazon said, that's enough.
Yeah, and if it had been any bigger, I would have had to cut stuff and had a smaller number. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It depends whether people have got house room for it. But, you know, what I always want is a lectern to keep books like this on, you know what I mean? So it's just there when you're waiting for the kettle to boil or something. And you dip into it because it is intriguing because it's got a different, you know, it's different tone to it than you would have found in standard record reviews, because standard record reviews are always in the context of a publication. And so they're always trying to win some internal battle in the in the publication, you know, in more space, less space, whatever. Whereas yours are different. Yours are personal, you know. And I have to say, I love the reflections on just where I bought it, you know, that Moon Picks by Cat Power, 150 at Cancer Research, North Finchley. And you think to yourself, oh, well, I live not that far away. Okay, I'm going to drop in next time I go. A bargain. According to the legend, about half the album was written in a single night when Chan Marshall was staying in a South Carolina farmhouse and had a terrifying hallucinatory experience. Blah, 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 blah. It's just a different, it's a different feeling, you know. And it has that kind of serendipitous appeal of, you know, that musing about records has, you know, that it has the feeling of going in a record shop, really. It has a feeling of going in a charity shop and, look, let's see what's here, you know what I mean, rather than going in a methodical way and, you know, for Beatles and Beach Boys and so forth. Yeah. I very much like that, you know, because I suppose that's one of the big, you know, frustrations about music online is it's all there, but it's all, you can only access it through a tiny little letterbox, which you have to know what you want to hear, really. Whereas this kind of thing, you know, give you loads of hints for, you know, for what you might like to listen to next. It's absolutely extraordinary. You haven't attempted to interest what I might call a proper publisher in this.
I would quite like to do that. I'm not sure where to begin.
No, I'm not sure either. frankly,
but yes, I mean, I did think, as you said, I mean, it's very personal, and I did wonder with the kind of charity shop references and things, is this going to interest anyone except...
It's really interesting.
Myself.
Believe you me, the more personal it gets, the more interesting it is. Because anybody who's going to spend a lot of time with this is finally going to be spending a lot of time with you.
Yeah, yes.
And also, it's interesting, I think, that if you say you bought a Cat Power record for £1.50 in a charity shop, you're... approach to that record, your relationship with that record is completely different from if you'd paid top dollar for it, because then you're constantly awaiting disappointment. Whereas here, you're just constantly being pleasantly surprised, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing about the charity shopping that really changes the listening experiences. So I recently found Private Dancer by Tina Turner for 50p, and I'd never heard that. So this is another album that's 40 years old. Somehow, you know, I think it wasn't my thing when I was younger. I really didn't have much curiosity about it. But seeing it now for that price, I think, well, yeah, why not? And it's fascinating to hear something that everyone else in the world has already
heard millions of times.
Yeah.
It's like seeing Jaws after about 40 years, isn't it? And you go, oh, it's really good, you know. Yeah. Did you think, Private Dancer, you think, do you know, this is a really commercial record?
It'll do well.
It will have done well. Absolutely extraordinary. Well, so what are you working on now? Are you still writing a review a day while your children are no longer trying to get to sleep?
Well, no,
you're trying to get sleep. They've gone out.
This is the thing. I've listened to a lot of music since. I mean, I've only really finished writing this in December. But I've listened to a lot of music since then that I haven't reviewed, and I feel a bit strange about it. Like I say, I'm not sure I'm listening to it as well. I'd quite like to go back through those and review those properly. But you know, I'm just not sure I can begin a sort of open ended. Well, I think there needs to be some end goal in sight. With this, there was a long period where I thought, am I ever going to finish this thing? You know, 10 years is a long time to be writing something.
See, I think your children, I know we're taking the mickey a bit about the 18-year-olds that pay attention to you, because Mark and I both know what that's like. They don't pay any attention to you at all. And you can't help feeling, and here it's just the three of us talking about this, you know, when you get to a certain stage of your life, you think, you'll be vaguely interested in me when I've gone. You know, 20 years after I've gone, you're going, what was it? Who was that bloke who lived here? You know, or whatever. You've got the perfect thing here. Your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, one of them, I guarantee you, will pick this up many years hence and go, do you know, he was a funny old cove, wasn't he? I wish I'd met him or whatever. You know, this is what he thought about the Jean-Michel Jarre.
He turned me on to Leo Kottke, so I'm very grateful.
I really think that's a good thing, you know. Yeah. It's that idiosyncratic side of it, you know, which is... it's normally recorded in a kind of slim volume of poetry, isn't it, that somebody finds down the back of a sofa. Well, this is anything but a slim volume.
Life's work.
It's extraordinary. So, well, what can we say? Best of luck with it, really.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Good luck with volume two. Excellent.
This podcast was brought to you by The Word.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.